Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours in abundance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. John the Evangelist is not talking about himself. Maybe that's another reason why he doesn't include his own name in this Gospel. He's talking about a different John. We read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This is the testimony John gave when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny. He confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'Who are you then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' 'No,' he answered. Then they asked him, 'Who are you? Tell us so we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said.' They had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked John, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?' 'I baptize with water,' John answered. 'Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie.' These things happened in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, have you driven to a local residence with a light show? Anyone done that so far this season? You go and you park in front of a house, someone set it all up, timed to music, and the bushes and the trees and the garage doors and the rest of the house is all set to blink at different times and different colors. And it's all timed according to music. I don't know how they do that. It's an amazing feat. As I mentioned this past Wednesday in service, our family did that when we were through with quarantine. We just got out of the house and we went and we watched a local residence that had it all set up in a 20-minute time period. And I remember the first time I did this a few years ago. My mom was visiting and she said, "Let's go see a local house like this." She found it online. And we drove up and we saw the lights and we saw that it was to a rhythm, but we didn't know what. I expected the house to be blaring the music or something, but you had to figure this out. They had a little sign out front that tells you how to tune your radio to the right frequency. And then, sure enough, it's blaring right through your car radio. And it's all timed to that house. It's kind of important to know how to get the music. The sign wasn't the music. The music was the music. But you can't get to the music unless you know the information on the sign that tells you what frequency to tune to. Our hearts are the same way. What music will we listen to that really connects with our human experience and that really meshes with what we need as sinners this time of year? We need to be tuned to the right frequency. What matches our hearts? And for that reason, we turn to John. But we find out that John isn't the music. He's the signpost. But through John, we learn what is the music. And through the message of John, we enjoy the music. So today, tune your frequency to the coming Christ. In three ways: to the voice crying in the wilderness, to the message of the New Testament, and to the one who comes after John. This didn't happen to be the voice You know, the voice crying in the wilderness, the voice of John, didn't happen to be the voice that the Jews, or really the religious leaders, actually wanted, by the way. John the Baptist came with an unusual lifestyle. He came wearing camel's hair. He came with a leather belt tied around his waist. He came eating uncooked food. He came drinking only water, as he'd taken that Nazarite vow that you sometimes see biblical individuals taking throughout the Bible. And he baptized, but he didn't do it in the temple or in connection with any synagogue. He did this all out in the wilderness, in the desert, away from everything. And what we get from the other Gospels is that you had the whole countryside coming out to visit him. All these people flocking to hear what he had to say. This was just so unusual. But it wasn't just a common person who came to visit John the Baptist and his ministry. There was a delegation that was sent. And who sent this delegation, this formal official group of priests and Levites, but the Pharisees? They wanted to find out what was going on with this minister out in the desert. What was going on? They came to ask him some very pointed questions. And through asking him those very pointed questions, guess what they revealed? They revealed what they wanted for Christmas. Well, naturally, they first asked about an earthly Christ. That's what they wanted for Christmas. An earthly ruler who would come and break the power and oppression of the Romans and raise Israel back to a Davidic royalty, something that was unprecedented in the whole world. John, are you the Christ? That was the kind of Christ that they wanted. And John had to deny it and answer honestly. He didn't lie. He said, I'm not the Christ, because he was commissioned and called by the Christ to preach about the Christ. He himself wasn't the Christ. Okay, well, are you the coming Elijah? Now, how did they know to look for the coming Elijah? Many of us probably remember that Elijah wasn't taken to the Lord in death. He was taken in a whirlwind before he died, without dying, accompanied by a chariot of fire. And so we sing, "Swing low, sweet chariots." But John thought that they had probably a false impression of that. In the book of Malachi, the prophet proclaims that Elijah would come again. So this delegation probably assumed, these priests and Levites probably assumed that Elijah himself was going to come back, rather than what the angel Gabriel predicted, that he would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so he answered them according to their question and said, "No, I'm not the Elijah that you're looking for." Later on, Jesus does call him Elijah, because he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, but it wasn't what this delegation was asking. Okay, well, how about the prophet, the great prophet that Moses proclaimed in Deuteronomy chapter 18, before Moses died in this great swan song, the book of Deuteronomy, the swan song of Moses? He uttered that a great prophet would come and teach the people like no other. Are you the prophet? And John had to say, "No, I'm not the prophet either." And at every turn, John directed them away from himself personally. He was authorized by God to go and preach and proclaim. He came in such an unusual way, but it wasn't to point to himself. He was there to point the one who would come after him. It was sort of like an interview, an athletic interview, when you've got a professional athlete on screen and they're asking him about himself, and maybe it's the star player, but he certainly doesn't take that kind of credit. He says, "No, I'm not the captain. I'm not the quarterback. I'm not the lead chair. I'm not the leader here. I'm not what's important. I'm here to highlight the important one to come." And so this John wasn't what the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees wanted for Christmas. Makes you think about the Christmas carol. This is my carol for today, if you've been following along in our treasury of Christmas carols. Makes you think about the Christmas carol where the child wants a hippopotamus for Christmas. I know you didn't see that coming. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses, just a hippopotamus. Why is that song so fun? It's because, I mean, for a child to ask for any of those things, especially to specify, to say, I don't want those other creatures, I want a hippopotamus, this is just outrageous. That's impossible. That's an impossible gift for a child. In the same way, this delegation, these priests and Levites, these Pharisees, were asking for something impossible. They wanted someone who came that was very different than the Christ to come. They wanted a false Christ to confirm them in their legalistic rites and rituals, in their good works, to affirm them in their salvation by works and not faith. What about you and me? Do we want the hippopotamus Christ? Are we looking for the false Christ? Sort of the maybe second Santa who just comes giving gifts and not here to tell you anything you don't want to hear, like that you're a sinner or that you need the law. Or maybe you are looking for a life coach who's here to tell you strict rules and regulations that you have to achieve, goals, and then you'll have it right with God. And that's the false Christ that you want for Christmas, maybe. Or perhaps you're just looking for a motivational speaker who will just give you all kinds of positive things and nothing more. Or a political savior who will tell you your politics are right. Yeah, you've got that on cue and you could never be wrong about that. Or maybe even a bodily savior, someone who will rescue your body and keep you safe and secure bodily, but with no thought for your soul. Maybe I've struck the false Christ that you find yourself wanting for Christmas. Maybe I haven't, but I think it's worth all of our time to consider, what do we want for Christmas? Do we want that Christ child who came to bring and establish peace and good tidings for a people walking in darkness, to bind up those who are sin-sick, body and soul? That's the true Christ. That's who John came to proclaim. Why were these religious leaders so misguided? I'll tell you why. Same reason we're misguided. Because of sin. Because sin has affected the heart of the human, and by nature we are hostile to him. We can't make decisions for him, we can't accept him, we can't wait for him until he comes, as if that waiting were a work. We can't work for him in order to get him. He comes completely by grace. We are rescued passively without any work done on our part or attitude or any will towards God. Plus, they didn't realize that John wasn't an Old Testament preacher. That's the other reason why these Pharisees and priests were so misguided. They were looking for an Elijah, someone to bring back the law. They were looking for a second Moses. But instead, they got John. Jesus said in Matthew 11, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. But since Christ the Lord was now present, the mission of Moses, the priests, the Levites, all of the prophets of the law, that was all finished now. That was all done. It was time for the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about. It was time for the new voice to shout out in the wilderness, as Isaiah said. And so that's how John identified himself. If anything, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice to proclaim the preparation of the coming Savior. I'm here to tell you about who's to come. And it's not just dialing your radio station to the right frequency. It's like switching over from AM to FM, which makes this so difficult. It's changing your tuner altogether. That's how drastic a change it is to go from those Old Testament preachers to someone like John, who was the forerunner of the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord, to call hearts to repentance. And so as a New Testament voice, he wasn't what these people wanted for Christmas. Now, why was he there? Imagine the excuse. How could we know the Messiah is coming if only you'd just given us some great spiritual person or some great speaker to tell us about the Messiah? If only we had that, then we'd know Jesus is coming. God removes that excuse, and he sends John to be that voice, the voice of the one calling in the desert with a new message. That now there would be a miraculous baptism. Now there would be a true repentance. A repentance not in action, but to the heart. Now there would be a spirit who produces fruits of that repentance. Now there would be true faith in the Messiah. Now there would still be those who despise preaching and his word. But to all who need relief, now there was one to provide that relief as needed. That's what John came to say. It's a whole new covenant altogether. And think about this for us as New Testament Christians. What's going to help us? There's a whole lot of theories out there. What's going to help us through the pandemic? A governmental transition? What's going to help us? Well, I don't want to hinge all of my hopes and all of my thoughts on a research poll, but Gallup just rolled one out that's very interesting. Guess what mental health is like right now over the course of these past few months of a pandemic? It's on the decline. Anyone could have guessed that, I think, anyone who's thought about it. And Gallup studied it in all kinds of categories, all different demographics, all different subsets of people, like gender and race and age, 18 to 25, 26 to 35, different categories like that, urban, rural. There's one little row in those columns that shows that people's mental health has improved. I'm not sure if you saw this, but it's those who attend worship weekly, where more people report excellent mental condition. I'm not sure if that's online attendance or in-person attendance. I don't know if we want to go splitting that hair, but I think it says a lot to those who are faithfully week in and week out attending the Lord's service to be served with his word and sacrament. Brothers and sisters, do so more and more, because it's not just mental health benefits, but it's to our spiritual health. Because in these worship services, we tune our hearts to the one who comes after John. It should tell us something that John didn't want to sing his own praises. He said the opposite. He wasn't worthy to untie Jesus' shoes or to loosen Jesus' sandals. Now it's true, John drew attention. John drew out all the people, all the countryside. They all flocked to him. They all heard his message. Most of them were baptized. If John wanted to conduct a political takeover, he probably could have said, "Yes, I am the Christ. Yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am the prophet. Yes, I am the hippopotamus. Yes, I'm everything you want for Christmas. Let's go take down the Romans. Let's go get rid of these Pharisees and their laws and the Sadducees and their guarding of the temple. Let's do this." But John didn't. Instead, he said what was true, that there was one coming after him. Instead, he said, "Who's John? I'm nothing. Here's one who's greater. Here's one who heals your sins, who takes away your trespasses. Who's John? Here is the hippopotamus. Here's the prophet and the Christ. It's the same person." They didn't always understand that in the Old Testament. "Here's the one you were waiting for. Here's everything you need for Christmas. Here's the one you should have wanted but didn't know you wanted. Who's John?" And if John was willing to say that, who am I? Who are you? Brothers and sisters, we're just a voice. We're beloved children of God. We're baptized and brought into his family. We're adopted sons and daughters. But as it comes to power to save, we're just a voice. We need the voice to remind us, but God's given us a voice to tell others. The thing about Jesus was he was to win us back. Not in treasure, not in Christmas gifts, of earthly possessions. He was to win us back with his own body, with his own heart, with his own suffering on the cross, with all of our guilt laid on him. He was there to be not just what we needed, but what we didn't know we wanted for Christmas. A savior from sin. Tune your hearts into that frequency and believe the gospel that you hear. In Jesus' name, amen.